Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we'll take some listener calls, have some hot crosstalk, and we'll do some news in this first half. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, right? And you work real hard, right? Well, you know, it's easy. Bundling. You get those policies bundled up at geico.com, which makes it easy for you to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save when you bundle at Geico. That is geico.com.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jake Paul and Andrew Klavan. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, not transferable due to surface contamination, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, baby. On demand, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Now we're back in studio. Gina Grad.
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
A pasty, cum-guzzling bitch.
God, right off the bat, huh?
Wow.
Coming in with a fire.
I was thinking to myself yesterday when you guys were back in studio for the first day, when I signed the show off, I waved at the blank screen with my plugs on it, because that's how muscle memory works. And I thought about it, and I was like, I'm not going to do that again. But
which
I
means that,
help
of course,
myself.
It'll happen.
All right.
Sorry, yes. Real quick. This is one reason you don't live in Dawson in my neck of the woods anymore. Did you know that a house exploded in our neighborhood?
Mm-mm.
In Dawson in my neighborhood?
Too many cockroaches blew out the walls, or
yeah,
what happened?
That's right.
It was apparently a gas leak at an illegal marijuana grow in a garage just around the corner from my house.
Yeah, and the house exploded.
It felt like someone had driven a car into my house. The blast was that big.
From about how far away?
About a football field.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for using football field as a unit of measurement. I don't like when people are about a few clicks or a stone's throw. Or about 600 meters or so.
Half a kilometer.
Yeah, like, yeah, the football field, we can see that.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Must have taken out the people that were in it?
One guy was severely burned. Another dude was buried under rubble. There were children in the house, but the children are fine. It blew out all the windows of the house and completely exploded the garage and threw debris 40 yards in every direction.
But what about the weed?
I'm sure it. Maybe they got high.
Okay.
Immediately.
Who's growing marijuana these days? In that volume. I mean.
Now that's just what I heard on the news. I don't understand how a gas line connects to an illegal marijuana grow.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me. You don't need gas to grow weed.
Aren't we sort of in a time when anyone can get weed whenever, that's wherever, like all the time?
All of West Hollywood smells like weed because there's like 14 different shops there.
Yeah. You smell like ass. And all right. So
anyway.
Good. And I think even the Mexican cartels have given up on weed. Like, they switched to fentanyl and human trafficking.
So, no profit anymore.
Right. So when they're off the weed, we should all be off the weed. All right. I got some stuff to put out there. Good day for Dawson. I know the home blowing up in your neighborhood was a bad day, but I got good news for you.
Ooh.
Picked it up from the George Floyd trial, actually.
Uh-oh.
Now, this is going to be interesting.
Oh, boy.
No, it's not going where you think it's going, but I still say it's a good day for Dawson. Can we do this? I got my doorbell rang at 9:45 last night. I got up. I walked to the front door. I opened the door. There was a guy standing there. In all black, he's wearing like black shoes and black sweatpants, black sweat jacket, full ninja. He's got a beanie pulled down, just to his eyebrows, like the beanies all the way down, and he has a black mask all the way up.
This is suspicious.
This is an ADT criminal.
It's from Snake Eyes. Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe.
I just open the door. I would lock eyes. I freeze for a moment, and he hands me a bag from Panda Express.
This and is your wife's head's in it.
Yes.
What's in
this
the bag?
This is a Grubhub, dude.
That's not
now,
cool, man.
Now, what happens is my daughter orders something, doesn't announce it.
Right.
The doorbell rings. Of course, who are the people? There's a lot of these people out here where it's like they tell their friend to come by at 2, and then at 2 o'clock, they're in the shower or something, and you're like, how do you expect this to work when the person is knocking? You order Grubhub, then you turn up the stereo and close the door and sit in your room. It's like, all right, but just be on the lookout or announce to everyone in the house, because everyone else, the doorbell's just ringing at 9:45 at night, and there's a ninja warrior standing outside.
And Grubhub and Instacart and all those are pretty precise. They'll give you a decent window.
Yeah.
Not like the cable company. They're gonna be there at a certain time.
My feeling is, can we get a windbreaker for these dudes? Because these are the dude who's going to drop off the Taco Bell at midnight. That dude's not a dapper dresser.
Right.
You know what I mean? That guy's not Tony Randall. I'm trying to think of someone who was a dapper. What's our director who's
Charles Wormfeld?
Well, not Charles. No, sorry. He did.
You're thinking John Waters.
Are you thinking
John
Paul Feig?
Paul Feig. Come on, Brian.
John Waters is dapperly dressed.
It's kitschy.
Have you met Adam?
It's kitschy. All right. So Paul Feig. They don't wear an ascot. They don't do a pocket square. The guy's dressed like a fucking ninja.
Peter Bogdanovich.
And now he's got the beanie pulled down and the mask pulled up.
I don't like
that. The mask, the black large scale mask covers the whole face. I froze for a second. My heart went in my throat for a beat. Like, it's on.
Startling.
And then they hand you the bag. Could we get these guys a yellow windbreaker that just says Grubhub?
Mm-hmm. That'd be
great. We'll have contact. So the daughter makes the order. The son makes the order. The wife, whatever. She does it. She's not there. There's someone walking up the driveway. You know exactly who that person
reflective
is now.
Vest. Right. Reflective vest.
Yeah. You get one with the sticker that you put in your car. It's fine.
Right. Okay. So problem solved for that. I'm going to cross that off.
It's
We need a Grubhub. Yeah, we don't even need a dress code. It's just when you sign up for Grubhub, you get whatever, and you get your windbreaker. You must don the windbreaker so we know who you are. All right. Dawson, good news for Dawson. I was listening to some of the trial from the George Floyd trial, and they had a pulmonologist on. And national breathing expert because
that we all were.
We've all mastered it.
You guys have been doing it wrong your whole life, Dr. Martin Tobin. And in the Chauvin trial, he gets up and he's for the prosecution.
Okay,
so he's there to testify that fentanyl or whatever pre-existing conditions that Floyd had didn't really factor in to the death of Floyd. It was, in fact, Chauvin's knee that caused the death, because he is an expert for the prosecution. And, you know, each side picks their experts and they kind of tell them what they want to say. So during cross, when it was time for the defense to cross-examine him, he asked him about Mr. Floyd smoking and want to know if that was an issue, and we'll play it for you. Get ready to rejoice, Dawson.
Now, in terms of the toxicology of Mr. Floyd, we did learn that there were some controlled substances in his system, right?
Yes.
We know that there was, for example, nicotine, right?
Yes.
Mr. Floyd was a smoker.
Correct.
And smoking changes the lung function, agreed?
In some people.
Some people, Dawson.
Now, we also learned more, and I'm not suggesting that all people who smoke have lung problems, right?
Less than 10% to 90% don't have any.
Oh. Okay, you rarely hear a champion for smoking.
Wow. It is a good day.
Just the socks, please.
It's been, I've been hearing about 53,000 Americans dying of secondhand smoke. Yeah. I've heard there's something called third-hand smoke that gets in the curtains, and then that gets into the brown kids' lungs. But I never knew that less than 10% of Americans who smoke are affected, have affected. Lung capacity issue. Wow. So this is good.
News.
This is good news.
April 12, 2021. Achievement day.
That's great.
Now, you could be in that less than 10%. We do not know.
I could be.
I just had a moment because my entire life I've been bombarded with smoking, and it's not just Zima, you, and it causes everything. And one cigarette a day is the same as smoking one pack a day, and here's what it does. Right. And even when you quit, and blah, 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 I've never heard anyone champion smoking before, and this guy's a certified pulmonologist, so there's your news.
This is great.
Yeah, I know.
And it also take a five.
It also, just everyone, when you hear expert, you got to figure out where the expert is coming from, who's paying the expert, and why the expert. But I just thought that was that was interesting.
It's great news.
Yeah. Now, look, I'm not saying it had anything to do with Mr. Floyd's death or not. I just thought it was so insane to hear someone kind of go, yeah, it was no big deal.
Yeah.
What about randomized experts for court cases? You know what I mean?
Because you'll get to pick your guy.
Exactly. You wouldn't get to pick your guy. And it could get a guy like this where he says something totally unbelievable. You're like, I did not see that coming.
The wheel of experts would be fine.
That'd be
sweet. Yes. Because, look, if you went to court and, you know, you were going against Mark Garagos, he would find a forensic expert, a financial forensic expert, and he would explain that you're worth $200 million.
Oh, amazing.
Lucky, right. Lucky you.
That's, and then they would sue you for half that. Oh, but what I'm saying is whoa, boy, when you get an expert, must be fun to be that kind of expert, too. Which is just kind of figure out what your marching orders are and then march.
Don't you think there are experts that are kind of like paid court experts? Oh. Like, are you allowed to make your living off of, just tell me what you want me to say?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. No,
that's a racket.
It is
a racket. All right.
Hey,
let's see.
Sorry, before we move on, I was thinking about this when I was reading, you know, something about the Chauvin trial. Do you think people that support him, or possibly people that don't support him, but I would imagine people who support him call themselves chauvinists?
Oh,
that's not bad.
And
how am I
all.
The only person who've come up with this?
I know.
The chauvinist.
I think you're on to something.
Thank you.
I mean, how am I the only one who came up with the Grubhub windbreaker? But here we are. Here we
select
sit.
Select few.
In the same room.
That's right.
All right. So we got that. We got that. What else did I write down here? I got some phone calls up here. Someone's going to give us a COVID update from Atlanta. I don't know how they're doing. I know Michigan's getting hit hard. Let's talk to Carter, 33, Atlanta. Carter?
Hello.
Hello, Carter.
Hey, sorry about that, man. I don't know what was going on.
From Atlanta, what's going on?
Not a lot, man. Well, you know, Ace, good to talk to you, man. Listening forever. This is the first time calling in.
Hey.
Can you give us an update?
Yeah, so I figured I'd give you a call because of the absolute fucking craziness you guys are dealing with out in California, to give you a comparison of what it's like here in Georgia. And I mean, I guess the best summary I can give you is no one really gives a shit. I mean,
in Georgia,
we've been open since May. Yeah. I mean, we've been open since May. I've been in my office since May. And I actually saw, you know, when you get out of Atlanta, start getting out into the rural areas, you're going to see a lot more people who really don't care. And for the first time, I saw a sign walking up to a hardware store expecting it to say face mask required, but it said face mask not required. You do whatever you want.
Oh,
there you go. Yeah, I don't think you'd see a lot of that here in Los Angeles. I was laughing watching SportsCenter last night because they were showing some Dodger highlights and the guy hit a dinger into the center field and everyone sitting outside in center field was wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. So we got a little different relationship with the disease over here.
Hey, Carter, are you vaccinated or is there a lot of vaccination talk or what's up with that?
Yeah, no, I got my first one like 2 weeks ago. I get my next one next week. It was pretty easy, to be quite honest with you. So, I mean, everyone's doing it, but, you know, it's, I don't know what to say for the rest of the state, but, you know, Atlanta's just,
right.
Everyone's still doing it. I mean, the governor came, a lot of people aren't really happy with him, especially after the whole voting thing, but, I mean, I like the way he's handled it because I'm not stuck at home with my 7 and 3-year-old while I'm trying to work.
Yeah, I think Kalen got his second shot
today,
and he's out of commission.
He's under the weather.
So,
yeah.
I think Drew is worried about his second shot. Drew had it and is not creating any virus or whatever. He's getting tested. But anyway, he's got to get the second shot because I think he wants to go to Greece or something. Guys all had your second. They say the second shot's tough, right?
I didn't have any problems.
I have heard anecdotally the Moderna second shot is much worse than the Pfizer. Gina and I both got the Pfizer, and it was very, very mild.
It does feel like somebody, I would imagine it feels like somebody shot you with a BB gun at point blank. I mean, your arm hurts like a mother.
It's legitimately sore.
But I wasn't sick afterwards.
Yeah, so basically, Carter, what we do here in California versus maybe what you do in Atlanta or certainly what they do in Texas or Florida or some of these other states, which is I'm now picturing a kind of a drawstring. And I don't know, think about a bag, a duffel bag with like a drawstring on it. And all the states pulled the drawstring to some degree and they sucked up that opening.
Yep.
And Texas said, we're going to pull on that drawstring a little bit in Florida and maybe Georgia. And so they pulled the drawstring and they narrowed the opening. So, and that was like, all right, we're going to close schools and we're going to have sporting events at 50% capacity, or we'll have kids sports, but outdoor sports only, or, you know, versions of narrowing that drawstring. Now, what we do in California is we go no beach volleyball, no parks. You go outside, you wear a mask. Remember when I was arguing, thank God I was on the phone with Drew, when I was arguing with the guy who was admonishing me because they closed the hiking trail behind my house. They didn't say you can hike with a mask or you can hike socially distanced. They were wrapping police tape around it.
Right.
And so what we do in California is we pull it all the way closed and then we tie it off. Mm-hmm. No schools, no hiking, no volleyball, no basketball, no outdoor, no sports, no nothing. And we even got rid of outdoor dining. So we pull it, we shut it. And then at some point when everyone looks around and goes, well, Texas is, or Florida is, or Georgia is, we go, yeah, well, now we're going to pull it a little tighter and argue as to why we're going to now defend us pulling this string. That's what we do, Carter, but I'm glad you're somewhere that has a reasonable drawstring. Never an argument that it shouldn't be cinched up. The question is how far do you cinch it up? And then you can only ask people to do so much, and you can only enforce so much. So the guy who's getting arrested for paddleboarding out in the Malibu Bay, that guy should get left alone because we want him to do that. But also, use resources. It's not an endless resource. You can't bust every house party that's taking place up in Beverly Hills on a rented house with 500 people in it and have enough resources for the guy paddleboarding.
Right. And let's also not forget that, and I never saw them, but in North Hollywood, they did claim to have dispatched people in khakis that were supposed to hand out citations if you weren't wearing masks. But the problem is, at that park in North Hollywood, there are so many encampments to dodge, I don't know how you'd find the people that you're supposed to get the tickets to.
Yeah, and all up and down PCH, they have all these temporary lit up signs that say mask required, but they don't make a distinction. I don't think people know between indoor or outdoor or what you're at the beach. All right. Thanks, Carter.
Yeah, thanks, man. Next time you're in Atlanta, give me a show. I'll bring you some delicious homemade barbecue. Enough for Mike August, too.
All right. Bring a lot.
Tenfold.
He will eat it. Kyle has a solution for my pizza ordering problems. Kyle.
Hey, guy. So, yeah, I hear you complaining about the pizza topping problem.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe you can make a distinction. And instead of ordering onion sausage and saying, and black olives on half, saying onion sausage on the whole pizza and black olives on half.
Yeah.
Maybe that could.
I could. I mean, I will now. No, I'm not doing any more of this havesy bullshit. Pick it off. If you're paying for it, if you're buying and flying, pick off those olives, number one. And number two, I said, give me a large thin crust pizza with onion and sausage. And then I paused and I said, and black olives on half. But that wasn't enough. And listen, look, let's be honest here. In Southern California, there's a language barrier. When you're calling, and you know, what I just said is pretty good if you're born and bred here or even in this country. But what I'm saying is if you come from parts unknown...
Or even parts known.
But I'm just saying, if English is your second language, then it's going to be hard to draw that distinction when you say half. And most of the time when you call a place in Los Angeles and you're ordering a pizza, there's a good chance the person on the other end wasn't born here.
You know, Kyle, I think that's smart. I think the grammar makes sense. But Adam, I'm going to throw this back on you because I think there have been times where I can't remember. I'm sure Brian can help me come up with an example off the bat. But I remember there are times where like August messed up a booking or something. You're like, yeah, we get that that's on August, but that's on you because you know who you're dealing with. You have to start treating people like they don't get it when you're ordering.
I shall do it every day with me and Adam.
Super sing-songy and
like
condescending.
Like you're doing with five-year-olds.
And say, and again, and say, repeat it.
It is on me now. I mean, it's on me from this day forward. If I'm dealing with that place again, I will be very, although it's never going to happen again because I'm not doing this half bullshit. But thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Jeez, I should write a book called Shit My Dad Would Have Never Done. You know what I mean?
That's like, a long book, man.
I know.
Tome.
It's just a list.
Taking a stance against the half pizza. All right. So we're going to talk to Jake Paul. Jake Paul is going to box Ben Askren. Ben Askren's maybe not a name that you guys recognize, but Ben Askren was a guy, I'll paraphrase a little bit because I don't have his bio in front of me, but Ben Askren was a guy who was like 20-0, like unbeaten in another league, not MMA, you know, whatever, the pride fighting league or something like that. He was maybe 18-0 or something with a crazy collegiate wrestling pedigree, right? And
Bellator,
probably. He was in another league.
Okay.
And then they brought him over to the he fought Damian Maia after the Jorge Masvidal fight? Oh, okay. Yeah. Did he win that fight?
No, he lost.
Oh, okay. So he was brought here as this guy that was the star of this other league.
Okay.
Known for his wrestling pedigree. He then came to the UFC. I think he got out of the gate with a win. I think he used his wrestling and maybe choked somebody out after being beaten up. But he was a guy who wasn't known for his hands. He was known for his wrestling and grappling because of his wrestling background.
He got to 18-0 in Bellator in something called ONE
All right.
Championship.
And then he came here, and it came to UFC, and I think he won his first fight. Then they put him in with Jorge Masvidal. And Jorge Masvidal is a bad mofo, and Jorge Masvidal knocked him out, but fairly quickly and in crazy, spectacular form in 17 seconds. We'll show you the beginning of the fight. So there's Jorge Masvidal.
On Wikipedia, it says 5 seconds.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of the intro.
There's a little. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The whole video is 17 seconds.
Right. Sorry. We'll show you this. And then Jorge is a complete gentleman because, well, I'll tell you. So he's there.
He's just flapping gums at each other. Any chance?
Sounds like Fondalier.
The fight clock is brought to you by Oh, it's over. Jesus. He went down in less than 5 seconds.
Yeah.
The fight was called in 5 seconds. Yeah.
Can we please watch that again? Because I can't figure out the point to where he would have been knocked out. Like
flying knee to the head.
That was, I mean, trust me, I'd be knocked out.
Say, Gina, let's practice.
Let's watch this one more time.
Yeah. Threw a flying knee to his head. He went low. Jorge went high.
Wow.
And knocked him out stiff. And then proceeded to punch him two more times while he was knocked down on the ground.
Is that the gentlemanly part?
No, the gentlemanly part is if you let it go another 10 seconds, Jorge
urinates on him.
Would have been better.
Calls him a bitch.
Yeah, he was bit by a jellyfish.
Lifts his leg.
No, Jorge throws a knee into this guy's orbital socket and just knocks him out to the point when you really get knocked out, you kind of convulse. Like your electrical system gets thrown off and you're just
stiff.
You go stiff.
You see in football.
He went stiff. Then he punched him two times while he was laying there. Then he got down low with him to point out.
Wasn't doing all right.
No.
Later, he laid on the ground and imitated
him.
Yes, he did. He did the fish.
What a badass.
On the ground. Jorge Masvidal
did. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, Jake.
What's wrong with this animal?
Is that the fastest knockout in UFC history?
I think it may be. He then. Now, so Ben Askren is a UFC fighter and a professional fighter. And again, he's, 19, 20, 22 or whatever he is. But the thing that makes the Jake Paul thing interesting is he's not used to using his hands. He's used to wrestling. And if you're going to box him, then you don't get to use what's in this guy's toolbox is a bunch of wrestling shit.
Right.
Now, he's been working with his hands and on his hands because you can't do mixed martial arts and have no hands. He's just not known for his hands. And also, Jake is 6'1", and Ben is 5'10". So it could be. So you go, well, this guy is a YouTube star and he's fighting a professional, but it kind of evens out with some size and it kind of evens out with the skill set as well.
Well, not according to Dana White.
Yes.
Who's, putting $1 million on Ben?
I guess so. And Jake is favored in the odds, according to. Yeah, if you find Masvidal laying on the ground doing the fish and mocking him that way. By the way, at that point, Ben can be dead. We don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you threw your kneecap into that guy's skull. Who knows if he has hemorrhaging?
Right.
People do die in the ring, you know? But Jorge laid it out. Well, Jorge's move now is to hold his hands behind the fence.
Yeah, that's what he was,
And lay there. Then he laid on the ground and he did a little.
Damn.
Yeah. So you can see him. He falls on the ground and does
Can you imagine dating that guy? I'm sorry. I'm just really sad. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just really sad.
I can't have sex. I'm on my period. Oh, where's the ketchup?
Sriracha.
I'll throw it all over my junk. Bleed me a river, bitch. Yeah, I couldn't imagine dating him. Although I bet he's with someone who's super classy who sort of balances out.
You'd have to be.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. The guys who like to start the fight with their hands behind their back, that's fine, except for as soon as the bell rings, your hands go right in front of your face, which if you wanted to really do it, go all the way across the ring.
It seems very casual, getting inside his head.
Yeah, all right. So that'll be an interesting fight. And it'll also now kind of mark this era and time when YouTubers and, civilians, for lack of a better term, are crossing over. It was a crossover when Conor McGregor fought Floyd Mayweather. That was considered like a crossover, but they're both professional fighters. Now you have a rapper, whatever, YouTuber and boxer going and fighting a professional fighter. So that'll be interesting is what I have to say about that. All right. So we'll talked to Jake about that, and let's see.
If Jake Paul wins, do we think more of Jake Paul the fighter or less of the sport, I guess, the source, so to speak? You know what I mean? Like, if the guy from YouTube can walk up there and, granted, he's not off the street. He's training, obviously. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it'll be both, I would say. I think we'll do it simultaneously, but yeah, it's gonna hurt the UFC a little bit. All right, let me tell you about Super Speciosa. That's what I'm gonna say. Tough day, tough week, tough year. I have something to take the edge off. Kratom, one of a kind, all natural. Super Leaf works with your body and to keep you calm, focused, and energized. I have a cup of this tea before I work out, which is very nice before I hit that rowing machine. It's a cousin of the coffee plant that grows in Southeast Asia. Used by villagers for hundreds of years, Super Speciosa offers the highest quality kratom at the lowest possible price, plus 20% discount for my fans when you use the code ADAM at checkout. Go to getsuperleaf.com/Adam and get your 20% off today. That's getsuperleaf.com/Adam and get your 20% off. Right, Dawson?
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
All right. Let's see. We got, we're changing up the order a little bit because Jake's calling in at the end, toward the end of the show. I'll explain more about that. So we're going to take a break. And we'll come back and we'll do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
So we were just talking about Atlanta, and there is some news coming out of Atlanta, and I think our friend Carter kind of alluded to it. Georgia has lost a major production because of its new voting legislation. It was announced Monday that director-producer Antoine Fuqua and actor-producer Will Smith and his media company have opted to move production of their forthcoming film, Emancipation, away from Georgia. Their statement, here's one sentence from their statement, said, "We cannot in good conscience provide economic support to a government that enacts regressive voting laws that are designed to restrict voter access." The new Georgia elections law was signed by Governor Kemp in March and immediately drew ire from those who characterized it as voter suppression. President Biden denounced it as Jim Crow in the 21st century, and there have been calls for businesses to take action against Georgia. Proponents have argued that the law makes Georgia's elections more secure and actually expands access to voting. But Will Smith is out, and I imagine there's many more to follow.
It's Jim Crow 2.0.
That's right.
I was thinking about it, and there's a lot of talk about bringing people water in line. I was thinking about all the places we need water now that I never needed water in. Right. Like, I used to go out and do two-a-day Pop Warner football practice in San Fernando Valley. There was no water.
And devise a plan of burying it in the dirt.
That was my plan. I fantasized about burying water on the dirt, but they ran us ragged in the San Fernando heat with no water. Water was considered bad for you. And now it's like those people are standing in line. Oh, well, first off, if you have the word standing in front of whatever it is, your next thing is, or okay. Sitting, yeah. You'll probably make it. But the other thing I always think of is like, I feel like everyone is carrying their own bottle, their own jug,
always.
Their own something. I know I am. It's insane how overly Absolutely. Hydrated we all are. So they probably could make it as far as just standing in line goes. I was talking something for Gina and Brian, but a little more Gina.
Oh,
I was talking to I was interviewing an ultra marathoner. How do we say Dean's last name? Who was I talking to on Take a Knee? I got to figure out. He has a Greek last name, Dean. I'll figure it out. Anyway, ultra marathoner. Mm-hmm. I always say he's done all the Vinny stuff and then right. more. He has run 50 consecutive marathons in 50 different states
Shit.
In 50 days.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Forrest Gump over here.
Right. Now,
50 consecutive days?
That's what I said. That's what it said.
That's insane.
I was going to yell bullshit naming the states, but it would take a while.
Right now.
Yeah. So, Dean, I'll think about. Anyway, it's got a Greek last name. Anyway, so he had this interesting thing. Yeah, I almost got it, Max Pata. Dean Kaznes.
That's what I'm hearing.
Kaznes. Oh, okay. I think that was a little deeper than that. But anyway, we'll figure it out. Dean said, I said, so what's the routine? What do you do? He said, well, if I'm training, I get up in the morning and I'll run a marathon. And I said, because he does 200-mile races and 100-mile races. And I said, so you get up in the morning, and what do? MCT oil, you know, eat some salmon or something like that. What do you do? I said, no. I started to really figure out that I would just get up and leave. And I said, yeah, but you about guys running marathon. Yeah, Karnassus. That's what it is. Dean Karnassus. So he goes, no, I started to figure out that I actually perform better just getting up and going. And I was like,
where's your fuel?
You got your banana and your Snickers bars and your gel packs and all your pemmican and your water that's pemmican. Mixed with 10 different electrolytes. And he was like, no, I found out that your body stores enough fat. And conversely, there's some studies that show that if you kind of get used to putting stuff in, then your body doesn't get used to burning the fat that's on you.
Right,
you know.
Sure.
And I was just going, so you get up and I'm thinking like you got to get some fat or some butter or some something in your system and then, you know, go out for your run a whole marathons. Gets up, drinks a cup of black coffee just because he likes coffee, but there's nothing in it, and then goes and runs it. And he says, your body will fuel it. Your body fuel it. And then I go,
his body will.
His body will.
Right.
Then he goes, I go, well, and when you bring for the road, like you got the camel back with all the
cashews.
Stuff in it, all the stuff mixed in it. He's like, nah, just drink water. Just drink water.
Wow.
It's fine.
Back to basics.
And he angered me. And he goes, I don't sweat that much. I don't like those people, by the way. I don't know. They announced.
Jerk.
I'm not a big sweater.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. So it really got me thinking, like, when we have this thing of, like, you have to eat breakfast. Mm-hmm. You got to get something in your system. And then all these fucking people I have to talk to all day, they're like, if I don't eat breakfast at 8, I'll get a headache. At like, you know, everyone, by the way, this headache, it's the universal thing that no one can rob you of. You know, no one go, bullshit, show me your headache.
Right.
I want to see some headache. I want to see some document. I want to see a brain scan, a CAT scan, a PET scan. They just go, if I don't eat breakfast, then like 2 hours later, I'll start getting a headache, and it's like, you're working in an office, you know? You're driving in,
okay.
You have underground parking and a key card. What do you mean you won't?
Right.
You feel it, you know?
Well, there's, like, I know, I'm the one validating this ultra marathon runner, but I get it in my own teeny tiny little way, because my thing now is not just, you know, the Vinny diet, I've cut out dairy, because that's considered dirty keto.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't do well. You know, I don't really lose weight when I'm, you know, guzzling, you know, milk and stuff like that. But it's also
milk out of sugar.
Yeah, it does. But like intermittent fasting, like I do the 16-8. So it's fasting, come on. But like I'm not eating for 16 hours and I'll eat in an 8-hour window.
Mm-hmm.
So that my point is, I don't eat breakfast either. I don't eat until 11:30 or 12, my last meal is dinner, and I really feel better.
I completely agree. First off, your body's meant to do all sorts of things that you don't ask it of. But I'm just saying, I was still under the impression that I wouldn't have got up in the morning and went to work out before putting that thing. Like, you got to put some fuel in the tank.
Right.
This guy runs marathons and runs it off of his stored body fat, and he doesn't have nearly as much as I do.
I was going to say, that's incredible. This just occurred to me. I wonder if, let's just say the headaches are real, you know, if I don't have breakfast by 10 o'clock, blah, blah, blah. I wonder how much of that, if it's real, is sugar withdrawals. They're having cereal or granola or pancakes or, you know, whatever
good
it
question.
Is. Like, that could be like a little bit of a sugar withdrawal.
I I agree, but either way,
fix your breakfast is what I'm saying.
Well, it's like we all talk about the wonders of childbirth. You know, it's so amazing what a woman's body can do. You know, it's incredible what a woman's body. It's true. We are meant to do pretty incredible things, and one of them can be skipping breakfast and running a marathon. I'm just saying,
heroes.
Everyone with your, I get headaches when I don't. Yeah. My secret theory is, if I said to that person, by the way, they're all that person. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, it's never Mike August. It's always
delicate.
That person, right? I bet if you fooled them into thinking they ate breakfast when they didn't eat breakfast, that headache would not present itself 2 hours later. All right, sorry. What else, Gina?
Oh, I don't know.
I forgot we're doing the news.
I didn't see.
Those are top stories.
That's what I think of the whole Georgia voting
yeah,
situation.
Me too. So Nick Cannon has some more twins on the way. He and Mariah Carey had their kids, Moroccan and Monroe, in 2011. Now he and DJ Abby De La Rosa are expecting twins. But that's not all. He also has a daughter from his ex-girlfriend, Brittany Bell. The daughter's name, I buried the lead. The daughter's name, God bless her, sure she's wonderful, Powerful Queen Cannon.
That's good.
They had her
PQ
this
Cannon.
Past December. So he's got five little ones now.
PQ.
Yeah, the problem with the names is you have to kind of earn the name, like the title. Like I could have named my son Brigadier General Corolla, except for he'd still be at the fucking Wendy's when he was 35 asking if you want to supersize those fries.
Right. Baron Trump.
Right.
Chosen one. What's his name? The cute quarterback. That everyone hates now. No.
Oh, Brady?
No, hot black guy he was with.
Holmes?
No.
Cam Newton.
Thank you. Chosen one Newton.
Oh, so really?
Yeah.
It's a lot of good looking quarterbacks out there.
Yeah, you're right.
Jake
I don't get it. It feels like, I don't know if we need a sanctioning body, but like I told you, we have them for license plates. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's kind of like two things. Like, well, how would this affect the community? And also, yeah, the kid doesn't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Your first name is powerful.
But what if you named him, like, Fuckwad?
They
wouldn't let you do that, would they?
Some barrier to entry with, like, wealth and fame. And, like, if you're Cam Newton or Nick Cannon or whoever, like, yeah, name your kid the Chosen One or whatever. But, like, you know, the average schmo, there shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't be allowed. Because, like you said, they're going to end up at the Wendy's drive-thru, you know,
right,
in high school. These kids never have a high school job.
And weirdly unemployable, because when people start giving – I told you I did an episode of Catch a Contractor. We went to wherever horrible, godforsaken city we would go to. And, you know, we'd never go up and work on Paula Deen's house. You know, it was always had to go to the horrible neighborhoods because that's where the contractors would go. I'll do your whole kitchen for $49. And then they'd tear it apart and they'd leave.
Deep Inland Empire.
Everywhere that was bad, that's where we went. And then we stood in the bathroom while people spat on each other and argued. That would have been the worst COVID show ever. Yeah. We'd have Skip, me, two cameramen, and an irate woman and her daughter screaming at a contractor all in one single bathroom.
This season, pools only.
That's right. So one of the couples, the mom's name was, you know, Cheryl or something, but she gave her daughter a crazy black chick name. And it was so crazy. It'd never been spoken before.
Wow.
And everybody was worried about screwing it up. So all we did was go, you know, Cheryl, I agree with you and your daughter.
Your daughter.
Yeah. Your daughter. It was like everyone, I was screwed up by it. Skip was screwed up by it. Everyone that you could. The director was screwed up by it, and thus we rarely mentioned her name because it was too screwed up, and everyone's embarrassed to punt that name or screw that name up. So it was it did not achieve the outcome that she was looking for.
Right. I'm sorry. Just on that note, I was just trying to send Chris something, but it might be easier just to Chris. If you want to look up the girl with the 1,000+ letter name, it's the girl. Just put longest name. This was an old Oprah interview, and get ready, strap in for when you see this.
Her name.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just because we're on the name train right now, this is a story about a back tattoo.
Oh,
but,
you know,
yes.
Nick Cannon's got his turban, right?
Does he still rock the turban? I haven't watched any of his shows in a while.
You got to name one of those kids Turban, right?
Turban Cannon.
It's good. Turban Cannon, man. That sounds like some, he'll fucking take you down, man. Stay away from Turban Cannon.
Is it T apostrophe, like?
To Urban.
To Urban.
I don't. And they can name the other one La Turban or De Turban.
Right.
But either
okay.
way. No. Sorry. I don't know if he still wears the turban.
Well, we know that, you know, Grimes had a baby with Elon Musk. The baby is known as XAIA12.
Oh, right.
Right. But that's not even the story. The story is that Grimes has unveiled the, quote, beautiful alien scars she had tattooed across her back, which is, there you go.
I was about to say, there's something up with that chick.
Are you sure?
Really?
You know me, I don't like to cast aspersions on people I haven't met, but yeah, I what's her name?
She's Grimes. Her name's not really, it's like, you know.
Right.
So Tara Lynn
Jones. Point
of
information. What is Grimes famous for?
Singer.
Okay.
So here, let me describe what we're looking at.
Let me tell you what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a chick that fell asleep at a slumber party.
Oh, sure.
And one of her friends grabbed a marker and just fucking went to town on her back.
Looking at Lupita Nyong'o stand-in for
Clovers of Brian. it looks like it's an... it says the intricate web of tangled lines, which is, I guess, a good way to describe it. Just somebody just carved up her back in a random way. She said they will eventually become beautiful alien scars on her Instagram. And so it's all done with white tattoo ink. Uh-huh. So she wants it to look like, you know, like Sigourney Weaver, whatever. And she and her partner, Elon Musk, did have a baby that I can't spell it for you, but I can tell you that Musk told Joe Rogan the baby's name is XAIA12, but they just call him X, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Sigourney Weaver thing?
Well, what alien thing am I thinking of where she's all jacked up? What am I thinking of?
I don't know that one either.
Okay. I don't know. By the way, Grimes' real name is Claire Elise Boucher.
Mm.
And now she has beautiful alien scars.
There's too many people for me to keep track of, and they're doing too many crazy things.
That's true.
See, when I was growing up, it was like, what'd this guy do? Well, he climbed Mount Everest. And then what'd that guy do? Well, he jumped a bunch of school buses on a motorcycle. Like, it was just basic stuff that you did. Nobody was known for...
She had really long nails.
Anything else, really. Now we got to keep up. All right.
This is an old Oprah clip, and this girl is, I don't know... 12 or 13, and she's going to tell you her full name.
What is her name? What is her name?
It's Roshandia Tonishan Vishan Kishan Simon Drew Shalinda Shakarne Ronquil Ninja Shamika Shanet Tamika Shawahim Vianchel Kani Sansan Janish Marane Kunsai Kanisha Devon Yvonne Lutani Sivante Pranki Salaviva Zanfisa Justin Sajave Loya Vet Spark Miss Andrea Kate Katia Vishon Oli Vekishawa Malisa Nathi Shots Megmane Loisa. My middle name is Kunyan Scott.
Your middle name? Please. Okay, go
Thank
on. You're
you.
Done?
Now pull up to the window. Now I got to figure out what this chick's doing now.
No.
Because it ain't running Nabisco.
That's
we'll
gross.
Just have Chris Google her name real quick.
Yeah.
It'll only take till next show.
Next week,
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I missed that episode.
Yeah. Don't you miss old Oprah? Doesn't it seem charming to watch old Oprah episodes now?
Where she stands up.
Yeah. Gets in the crowd like Phil Donahue.
And also kind of dresses like a 17-year-old white chick from the 80s, you know, like wears a lot of floral patterns, big earrings, and like has her hair done.
Right.
Like kind of.
Like Lisa Turtle.
He doesn't know who that,
I know
is,
that is.
From
yes.
Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yeah. She was trying to sort of make it in a white man's world or something. And she's like, this is non-threatening Oprah.
Yeah.
Now she's kind of doing her.
In her backyard in her shawl and crazy glasses, as she should be.
She should be.
Yeah.
Right.
So we've been talking about runaway productions and things like that. But Yahoo News reports that New York is bracing for a mass exodus of its wealthiest residents after officials passed a budget that will see them pay the U.S.'s highest tax rate as they're trying to recover from their their COVID hit and their economy. So under the new rate, which is expected to be passed by Cuomo, the city's top earners would pay 14.8% tax. A combined federal, state, and city tax could reach 52%. That would move them to be higher than California. And we are already the current highest combined tax rate for top earners in the U.S. and much of Europe.
It's going to be an arms race. California's like, how dare you?
Yeah. And so when the richest were, you know, going to Miami and stuff during COVID, and now, like you said, Big Jay Oakerson gets a penthouse for nothing, who's coming back there?
Rich people, corporations, productions, you know, they have taught us. I mean, you talk about Will Smith pulling out of Atlanta. Like, you know, when I was a kid, you couldn't go to Atlanta and do a big production. Sure. You couldn't go anywhere.
It was Warner Brothers or nothing.
Yeah. So, you know, we relied heavily on that, where are you going to go, you know, kind of thing, like Gavin Newsom says. Then Zoom and all the technology, and then, you know, the COVID thing has really taught people that you can do anything. I've always said, you know, there was a whole bunch of rules. I always look back, you know, if you want to look to rules, then and like kind of an orthodoxy, you look to radio. Radio, like I remember when I was trying to get on doing syndicated mornings in San Diego on 91X. And the program director there, I was like, why don't you put me on? Bro, we'd rather have local guys. You know, like this notion of like, I need local guys, guys who know the local. How about funny guys? Right. You know what I mean? Like and there was also rules about replaying stuff. You know what I mean? Like, well, New York's not going to replay Love Line because New York gets the fresh episodes. Like, oh, I grew up watching MASH. I don't know when they taped the fucking episode and reruns of I Love Lucy from that were taped 52 years before that. You know, there's like an orthodoxy, rules. When Bean was going to leave the studio and go to Seattle area back in 2003 or whatever the hell it was like, you can't have one guy from the thing and not in the same.
It's never in the same room.
It work, and then it worked great. And they were like number one all the time. Yeah. So it's like we rely a lot of the rules or sort of boogeyman-y kind of stuff, like that M. Night Shyamalan movie where it's like you can't go over the fence or into the woods. That's where the that's where the monsters
good
are.
Stuff.
People start wandering out, and then they sort of look around, and they go, oh, I could live in Florida. Yeah. And they go, but your business is back in, okay, well, I got a line and a internet. I'll just do it from, you know, basically what we learned from COVID is we can do whatever from our house. And what rich people learned is they can do whatever from Florida or Texas or someplace that doesn't have taxes. And, of course, the people that can afford to move will move. The people that can't afford to move will stay. But if we've learned anything from production and corporations, anywhere from Nike to Apple or whoever, they're good at making money. The reason the it's a catch 22 because you're going, these billionaires, why don't they start? They're good at this stuff. Oh, yeah. They got guys.
Right.
And they have legal teams and tax experts, and they're everything. And when you start penciling out what it's going to cost to stay in Manhattan versus go to Florida, they're fucking gone.
No brainer.
And then New York's going to have to kind of do what LA did with productions. They're going to have to start trying to figure out ways to get people to come back. And raising taxes, it's like, it's great. It's raising taxes is like, it's like us having a burger stand and going, what are we selling these burgers for? $6. What if we sold them for $11? Do you think we'd have a lot more profit?
Rolling in riches.
Yeah, we would, except for less people would buy the burgers. And that's how it works, everybody.
Or you take Newsom's idea and you go, no, if you can move anywhere you want, but we'll find you and we'll follow you.
Yes, I am telling you, this shit definitely would work in the 80s and 90s when it's like, where else you want to live but the Big Apple? And you want credibility as a business? You have it in Manhattan. No one even knows where everyone is anymore. Nobody cares. And they're leaving, man.
Yep.
And that's it. They're all going to Florida. All right, let me hit Geico. That's what I want to hit. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other. And you work hard. So GEICO is going to make it easy. You can bundle those policies. Take your homeowner's or your renter's insurance, bundle it up with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your house. So what do? You go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save when you get your bundle going at GEICO.com. All right, let's do another, Gina.
All right. Well, here's somebody that they would like to leave town. People in the Dominican Republic are very unhappy.
Also, one more thing. Don't you guys, first off, we're always talking about, like, civil liberties and liberty and blah, 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 blah. Taking more than half your paycheck. Mm. Doesn't that feel like a Mason-Dixon line where the actual, it's like, you know, you have an agent, you know, you have a real estate agent or something. They get like 4% or something. And then you have an agent who gets you work. Like they have 10%, or a manager would get 10% or 15%. There's versions. Everyone who's in business is kind of working in those margins. You're past 50%.
Yeah.
That's kind of a watershed moment, like where the government is making more than you're making for not doing anything. Yeah, I feel like you need to stop at
49.9.
50% is worse than 52% somehow on a piece of paper. Like, I get half. Yeah. Nah, then we'll go a little past it. But I would stop at 49.
Yeah, and I mean, I know we've had callers call in and dispute this, but you think of countries, much smaller countries, that they do take half their paycheck, and it sounds like a utopia, or at least it has had moments of, you know, but everything is free, and everybody gets along, and everyone bikes to the farmer's market every morning, and then comes back to their, you know, co-op shared housing and eats and laughs, and like that would be great, but we're not rocking that kind of lifestyle.
Well, it's like during the whole infrastructure thing where they're like, how would you like to drive from LA to New York and never have to stop for gas because we had a network of electric charging stations? Right. It's like, oh, I would.
I'm listening.
I'd also like to take the bullet train from Merced to the Bay Area, but I'm not so sure this is, I'm not saying, it's not, the question is not how I would like it. It's more, and what about supersonic jets that run off electricity? It's like, I am in, and if I thought for 10 seconds that was going to happen, I would be down with the 52%.
Right.
All right.
Well, there is a man that I believe you're pretty fond of, both of you are pretty fond of, that isn't too welcome in his neighborhood right now in the Dominican Republic, and his name?
Sammy Sosa.
Vin Diesel.
Oh.
He's renting a place in a gated community in the Dominican Republic. Apparently, he's been going there for years. And neighbors say he's aggressive. He has these 12 aggressive security guards protecting him and his family at all times.
Vin Diesel doesn't need protection.
Thank you.
Those guns.
Fucking that guy.
Exactly.
Take one draw off that beer and then go right upside any bad dude's head.
That's exactly right.
I've seen it a million times.
And if somebody shot him, he can just pull it out with tweezers and put it in that tin cup. Up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one fed up neighbor wrote this letter, and part of it reads, "For a few weeks, I've personally witnessed and heard from fellow homeowners the unprecedented and abusive display of your security people around our homes and beach, interrogating us, blocking our street with 5 or 6 SUVs, stopping residents while walking when you ride your bicycle." But a source close to Vin says he's been vacationing there for 20 years and got along with everybody, so he thought. The source says he even handed out Easter baskets to people in the area, and the only reason why he asked for heavy security was because the family was there. He wouldn't need it, of course, because he's Vin Diesel.
Yeah. When is that movie coming out, Max Fan? When's Top Gun? I'm going to watch the shit out of those movies. I may even wait like a young lady saves her virginity for the right man.
Yeah. Don't spoil
it. I may want to bust my hymen of going back into a movie theater with Fast and Furious.
That's a good idea.
Your hymen better beware on June 25th.
There you go.
That's when it hits theaters.
When we figure out Top Gun was, I saw one of those behind the scenes of Top Gun. Oh, man, that's my pussy wet.
That's July 1st.
It's
a big week.
Oh, I mean, it's just like super intense. Like Tom Cruise is intense when he's on a motorcycle. Uh-huh. Put that guy in an F-18 and he gets to a past Tom Cruise level of intensity. It's like, I made sure every single one of my co-stars, every actor, grips, even the guys running catering, know what it's like to be shot off an aircraft carrier. That's right. The chick who's making the quesadillas, you get in that fucking cockpit, bitch, because everyone here is going to have to know that feeling.
He seems seems like he'd be on your list when it comes to dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Don't sleep on Tom.
Actually, just recently announced Top Gun has been moved back to November 19th.
Oh, come on!
That's insane. Right around 4th of July, you think that's when you'd want Top Gun.
Yeah.
Why did they move it?
Maybe they didn't want it to compete with Fast and Furious? Same audience?
The competition, yeah.
All right. Anyway, you will see the bloody sheet hanging out of the window of my home.
Oh, God.
Signifying that I... have seen Fast and Furious
Thank
in
you.
The movie theater.
Good.
That'll be the evening
sure.
of June 25th. Did
yeah.
we figure it
you
out?
You should wear a sheet to the premiere yeah. and watch it through a hole.
All right. Jake Paul is ready. So let me just hit Liquid IV here. Yeah. People working out and they're pushing their body and they're feeling a little run down, especially if you travel time zones. Maybe have a couple of pops on the plane. Always travel with the Liquid IV. I take it with me. I always put it in my overnight bag. And especially, like I said, traveling, time differences, sleep deprivation. Get a little dehydrated up there. Cutting edge blend of vitamin C, zinc. Wellmune is in a convenient single serving packets that help strengthen your immune system as well. Powered by cellular transport technology to enhance rapid absorption of water and nutrients as well. 2 to 3 times more hydration than water alone. It is Liquid IV, right, Dawson?
Get your Liquid IV's hydration multiplier plus immune support in bulk at Costco or order online and get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code ADAM at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code ADAM at liquidiv.com.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad.
Sorry, go ahead.
And that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Jake Paul, a favorite in his fight with Ben Askren, and then we got a whole Dana White and $1 million, and all, by the way, performances that night, Justin Bieber, Black Keys, I've got two bands.
Super band.
One.
Yeah.
And, Snoop Dogg's going to be there, too, so we'll talk to Jake Paul about this fight coming up this Saturday right after this.
Have you ever heard that story that Napoleon used the Egyptian Sphinx for target practice and shot its nose off? Or maybe you've heard that a French astrologer named Nostradamus correctly predicted nearly 500 years of human history. Or maybe someone told you that the legendary blues guitarist Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil at a crossroads in Mississippi. These stories are what I like to call historical myths. Great little tales that may or may not have any basis in historical fact. On Our Fake History, we explore these historical myths and try to determine what's fact, what's fiction, and what is such a good story, it simply must be told. If you dig stories about death-obsessed emperors, lost civilizations, desperate sieges, voodoo black magic, and famous historical figures you thought you knew, then Our Fake History might just be your new favorite podcast. Still not sure? Then stick around to the end of the episode today to hear a teaser episode of Our Fake History. If you dig it, then subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.